This is the Lions Unchained podcast, where the shackles of your mind are broken. There comes a time when we either embrace the truth or remain in darkness forever. The Lions Unchained podcast offers you the light of God's truth. The rest is up to you. Join Carl Joseph now for a powerful, life-changing word.
Now in scripture, friend, there are some things that are categorically true. Hands down, they are undebatable. We know that Jesus was born of a virgin. He died for our sins. He rose on the third day and appeared to more than 500. And because of this, we're most assuredly confident in our salvation. We also know the Trinity is real. Jesus is coming back soon. We believe in the rapture of the church, with the only issue being exactly when he will return. But just like the timing of the rapture, there are some doctrines that fall into what I consider to be the contentious category. Like I said, we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, and that is the most accurate hermeneutic of the scripture, in my opinion, and the traditional view of the apostles, early church fathers, and the uncompromising church throughout the millennia. However, we should not be divisive towards believers who take a different stance on the timing of Jesus' return or any other contentious part of God's word. We should remain in fellowship with all Christians despite our differences of opinion. So today, friend, we will discuss one of those golden nuggets, just like the dinosaurs, that sometimes calls the Christian faith into question. And that is, what exactly is the age of the earth upon which we stand? Now, traditional Christians will state firmly that the earth was created in 6 days, and any suggestion to the contrary is an apostate view. And of course, when you look at the creation account of this current world, it was completed, no doubt, in 6 literal days, just as the Bible says. More on this current world shortly. But friend, if you've listened much to me on the radio so far, you know that we are conservative in our view of Scripture. We hold closely to sola scriptura and the literal interpretive view of God's word, and we aren't changing any time soon. Yet the age of the earth has always been mysterious to me because the Word of God has much to say about it, particularly if we study the Hebrew language behind the Old Testament. And along those lines, I would like to share some of my findings with you today, asking you to keep an open mind, albeit I'm sharing my opinion on these matters. I'm not being dogged and declaring that these opinions are irrefutable, okay? But know this, friend, none of the following information will impact your salvation or firm belief in Christ Jesus. We can speculate till the cows come home as to how old the earth may or may not be, but no one can assertively prove one way or the other that we're living in a young or old earth model. This debate will rage on. However, these insights will help you to reach your own conclusions. Now, according to scientists, the Earth is 4.5 billion years old based on radiometric data fragments from the Canyon Diablo iron meteorite. Okay, but they also claim that they could be off by plus or minus 50 million years, so no big deal. Why not plus or minus 1 billion years then? The truth is no one was there to see creation, so no one really knows. Now, what got my attention when I first became a believer is the mention of replenishing the earth. If you'll recall, God commanded Adam and Eve to replenish the earth with an inference in the text that they were repopulating an earth that was once inhabited in a prior time frame. Let's read Genesis 1:28 now. It says, God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, if you look up this word in the Hebrew, the term replenish is morlo, which can have a double meaning. It can simply mean to fill up and or replenish, as the scribes wrote in the King James. So to be honest, we cannot firmly say that there were races prior to Adam based on this scripture alone. Secondly, we have the mention of previous worlds later on in Genesis. Let me read Genesis chapter 2 verse 4 for you now. Quote, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Clearly the word generations in this passage is plural, once again with an inference that there were two creative events, not one. We know certainly according to the biblical record, Adam and Eve came on the scene about 6,000 years ago. Yet there was more than one generation of heavens and earth in days gone by, according to the Genesis account. A famous work that expounds upon this is a book entitled Bible, Genesis, and Geology by Gaines Johnson. And of course, Gaines's problem was reconciling the age of the earth in light of his Christian worldview and being an accomplished geologist himself. So he was internally conflicted with the diametrically opposing views of old and young earth. The thing is, when we consider the dinosaurs and the fossil record, the carboniferous fuel deposits within the earth, geology and archaeology, every one of these areas point toward a very ancient earth, much older than the 6,000 years that most creationists propose. But further intrigue is offered in favor of an older earth when we study a mysterious statement in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. It says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment." Once again, the takeaway is that Peter mentions the heavens of old, where the earth stood out of the water and in water, and he refers to the world that then was, meaning not the world in which we currently live. That is a world that perished with water. Now, most people, of course, will say this is referring to Noah's flood, when God destroyed mankind with a great deluge. And I certainly thought this myself when I first read it. But notice it says the world that then was. And of course, we're still living in the same world of Noah's flood. So I don't believe it refers to Noah's flood, but again points to a world in ages past. So, is there a passage in Scripture that points to an ancient cataclysm of an old world in ages past? Well, you may or may not believe it, but the first two passages of Genesis allude to a time when the world was surrounded in darkness and water, potentially reeling in a time of judgment. Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. It says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now, the first obvious conclusion of this passage is that when God makes something, he does a bang-up job. In other words, when he created the heavens and earth, they would be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In verse 2, however, we see the result of possibly some cataclysm where the earth is without form and void. If we look at the word form here, it is tohu, meaning wilderness, empty, or wasteland in the Hebrew. The question then becomes, why would God create a wasteland? And the answer is he didn't. In verse 2, many old earth proponents claim that the earth being without form and void is the direct result of some cataclysm or judgment that occurred earlier in the distant past. And they postulate this is the byproduct of Lucifer's rebellion, judgment, and downfall. So, are there any other scriptures that mention this earth of ours being without form and void? Yes, there is, friend. And now we go further down the rabbit hole. The prophet Jeremiah makes a fascinating statement in his fourth chapter, verse 23, when he says, "I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger." Friend, this statement is tantalizing to say the least. Jeremiah apparently witnessed in a vision the state of the earth before it was formed into its present state. He describes the earth as a fruitful place, becoming a wilderness, just like Genesis 1. He saw the earth without form and void. He saw the heavens having no light before God said, "Let there be light." He saw the mountains tremble. And Jeremiah confirmed the earth to be a wilderness in verse 26, even suggesting there were cities destroyed in ages past because of God's fierce anger and judgment of this prior world. Now, some of you are like, "Tell me more, Pastor, tell me more." Well, to be honest, friend, I've barely touched the surface of this topic better known as gap theory, and I may discuss it later in one of my upcoming broadcasts. But friend, there is one thing I'm sure of, and that's that angels were created long before man and were witness to the foundation of the world. And I'll give you scripture for it. It's Job 38, verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if you have understanding. Who hath laid measures thereof, if you know? Or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Friend, the sons of God here are the B'nai Elohim in the Hebrew, mentioned 6 times in the Old Testament, and in every case they refer to angels, not man. From this passage, it is only a logical conclusion that because the angels of God were present, that would include Lucifer, also known as Satan, that old serpent, and dragon, the Nokash. He is described as a cherub of the highest angelic order and witness to God's glory. He too would have looked on with all the other angels when God laid the foundations of the earth long before man came upon the scene. Some scholars then surmise that it was Lucifer himself who caused this very downfall and was the ruler of these cities laid waste in the ages past, described by the prophet Jeremiah. Don't forget also that nowhere in the 6-day account of this current creation does it say that God laid the foundations of the earth. This was not some observation the angels made during the 6-day creation account, but was possibly an earlier time frame. But once again, friend, this is mere speculation and cannot be proven emphatically from scripture, although it's very interesting. The truth is, we can debate scriptures all day long and whether or not there was a pre-Adamic race and whether Lucifer ruled the nations before Adam and Eve. But to be honest, these discussions often cause more division than unity in the body of Christ. Everyone can have their own opinion, but the main thing is to keep the main thing, and that is Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. As long as this is our focus, and we love our neighbor and witness to others when God grants us opportunity, then all is well and good. These endless debates over prophecy, or the timing of the rapture, or the age of the earth, can be fun to discuss. But at the end of the day, God is not explicit on such matters. It's almost as if He's left some things deliberately obfuscated in some departments of His Word. Right now, we have 38,000 Christian denominations according to Christianity Today. And I think that number represents both the Catholic and Protestant factions of Christianity. And I don't want to cause any further splits by being dogged over the age of the earth, by saying, y'all are wrong, sorry, I'm right, I can't fellowship with you anymore because of our difference of opinion. No, this is minutiae of God's word. I'm not going to do that, friend, and neither should you. Let's stick to the red letters in our Bible, not the grey areas, and stand upon that which we are confident, and leave the rest to the theologians.
You've been listening to Carl Joseph and the Lions Unchained podcast. Carl is a minister who's witnessed God's supernatural power to save, heal, and deliver. Carl is a unique researcher who investigates current affairs, societal trends, technology, cults, and end-time events, all through a biblical lens. Every Monday, new podcasts are uploaded, so stay tuned for the next opportunity to roar into victory. Check out carljosephministries.com for exciting articles, teachings, and discussion points. See you next week. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button.